CNN Radio. I'm Matt Cherry. No such luck. Crews tried to use a chemical mixture to plug up a crack at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant today, but it didn't work. Radioactive water has been leaking into the Pacific Ocean. Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Adano told reporters the impact of the nuclear crisis is expected to last a long time.
Therefore, the government is considering measures to step up its effort to assist these people within the evacuation and stay-indoors radius.
The death toll from last month's tsunami and earthquake has topped 12,000. Fierce battles today in eastern Libya between rebels and troops loyal to Muammar Gaddafi.
Fighting is bogged down around Brega in the east. The rebels, backed by coalition, have beaten back Gaddafi's forces. They've fought back, and now it really is a stalemate in an area where there are not a lot of civilians around a key oil refinery area.
CNN's Nick Robertson. Further west in Misrata, a hospital source tells CNN, pro-government forces shelled a medical clinic, killing one and wounding 15. The House Republican budget due out Tuesday will include a proposed overhaul of Medicare. Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan told Fox News Sunday people would choose from a number of privately run health insurance plans instead of just enrolling in Medicare.
More for the poor, more for people who get sick, and we don't give as much money to people who are wealthy.
Ryan adds the plan will include more than $4 trillion in discretionary spending cuts. A northern Colorado wildfire has forced the evacuation of more than 300 homes.
The flames have died down significantly from earlier this morning as the winds have calmed. However, smoke is evident in the city of Fort Collins.
That's John Schultz of the Larimer County Sheriff's Office. There's a storm brewing that's expected to bring heavy winds, large hail, and possibly tornadoes later today from Texas to Indiana. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Attention parents, if your son is 11 to 17 years old and exhibits oppositional or defiant behavior patterns, we want to prove that our best-selling child behavior program, The Total Transformation, will work for you. And we're willing to give it to you for free. For a limited time, we are offering the entire program free if you're the parent of an 11 to 17-year-old male child as part of a national market research project. If you're struggling with disrespect, backtalk, lying, school problems, or defiant behavior, you can get The Total Transformation free by calling 1-800-328-3070. Call now and find out how you can participate in this limited-time market research project. By sending in your results, you'll get our $300 child behavior program for free. Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-328-3070. 1-800-328-3070. That's 1-800-328-3070. 1-800-328-3070.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Let me introduce you to my party.
Oh, boy. This is J-Lo's new song, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, this has nothing to do with our show.
Well, yes, it does a little bit. It's J-Lo, it's Latin, and we've got Rosa Mexicana in here.
Well,
we got tequila.
That's
no,
a stretch.
I'm sorry.
That's a real stretch.
I think it's a good one.
All right, well, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with Dave and Nikki Nellis. We've got a great show. We just got to tell you very quickly, last weekend we were down in Talbot County for kind of the tail end celebration of their restaurant week.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed at a sweet place, the Bartlett Pear Inn.
Jordan Lloyd was in studio.
Right. Chef Jordan Lloyd and his wife Alice own the Bartlett Pear Inn, and we were down there. The food was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The room was amazing.
It was a
and
nice
I have to say,
the
weekend culminated with a sort of a celebration of a very special person who is joining us here in the studio right now from very far away. Hello?
I'm Julia
Child. Oh, God.
Child.
That was a lot for very little.
So part of this thing was we had to watch the movie Julia, And 2 hours of Meryl Streep shrieking like Julia Child was enough to make... I thought Stanley Tucci was going to kill himself. He should have. But anyway, so thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
All right.
Please.
So we have another special guest in the studio, fresh off his big book party last night, Joe Yonan, who is the food editor at the Washington Post, has a new book called Serve Yourself, Nightly Adventures in Cooking for One. He's the loneliest number there.
Okay.
But I don't think he's a lonely guy. He just, you know, Joe came up with a great idea, and he put a lot of... Actually, we tasted a lot of the food. The food last night was from recipes out of the book. It was delicious.
Oh, great.
And I felt one with myself.
Did you didn't feel alone.
No. I think my wife would like me to, but I don't.
Just every now and then.
And then we had dinner at Medium Rare afterwards, too. I mean, we went, had a second meal. Awesome. So
yeah, Medium Rare is a new restaurant by Mark Bucher. He's the guy behind BGR, who's also been on air. And Brian Zippin is running that place. It is incredible if you have a chance and don't mind waiting a little bit.
All right. So
certainly worth checking it out.
Why don't we get into the show?
So we've got
Joe here. Joe is a James Beard Award-winning food editor of the Washington Post, and he's got this new book, and it's anything but a lonely guy segment, so stay tuned.
And what
a friend we have in cheeses.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
All right, that's enough. He's cut off from all sorts of other things.
Now you got to keep going and talk about cheese.
I know. I'll handle this. Don't worry.
What kind of
cheese? Okay, so later in the show, we will be talking cheese. We have Chef Tucker Yoder here. He's the executive chef at the Clifton Inn. It's a Relais and Chateau space down in Charlottesville, and it's glorious. And he brought in all these Virginia cheeses. So we're going to find out all about that. And the Renaissance Arlington Capitol View Hotel in Crystal City. It is the newest place to open up over there. And they have a new Italian restaurant called Sochi. We have the executive chef David Creamer in to talk about everything about what he's doing there. He brought in all this gorgeous burrata and taste, and it's going to be delicious.
And he brought his GM, John Edelman, in with him, too, to talk about the hotel.
Excellent.
So don't forget John.
I won't forget John.
All right. And as we said, rightly famous for fine Mexican cuisine, Rosa Mexicana was increasingly well-known for their great cocktail lineup.
And I see guacamole.
You're going to find out. Head bartender at the D.C. Rosa Mexicana, Brooke Vandekar, is in, and she's going to be getting us loaded, I guess.
No.
I mean, they're like 80 bottles over there.
Right. Perfect.
Brooke, let's just start with you. You guys have a new menu called Flavor Fix that matches drinks and dishes, and I read up on it last night. But why don't you give us the 411 on that?
Basically, it's available at lunch only, and it's $14.50. You can choose one appetizer and one entree, or you can do like one appetizer, one dessert, includes a drink too. So it's a great deal, and you can mix and match any way you like.
And so these cocktails are part of what the...
No, that's another menu that we're featuring as a special.
Uh-huh.
We have a new cocktail menu we're featuring where we're using shaken, stirred, and beer cocktails. We've added all Mexican cocktails to our menu, gotten rid of like vodka or gin. We're using only like mezcal, Mexican beer, and tequila on there.
Okay.
Well, we were in Mexico for a week. I don't remember any of it.
So what are you making for us today?
Well, right now it's called a mezcalito, and it's made with fresh muddled strawberry, mezcal, and Tanteo jalapeno infused tequila.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. It's sweet, smoky, spicy all together in one.
Can you just, for those who don't know, can you tell people what mezcal is?
Yeah, definitely. Mezcal is, it's made from the maguey. It's along in the family of tequila, but it's very smoky, and it gets that smoky flavor from being cooked in rock-lined pits underground for several days.
Okay.
So it's amazing. I actually brought some for you to taste as well, because it's
completely,
we only use a little bit in these drinks because it's such a dominant flavor.
Okay. So, but it's not tequila, right?
No, it's not tequila.
Okay.
But
is there mezcal in tequila?
Tequila is made from 100 from at least has to be made from at least 51% blue agave.
Okay.
Mezcal can be made from several different types of agave. They usually don't use blue agave in mezcal.
Okay.
All right, while you're mixing it up, we're going to turn to our friend Joe Yonan. Do we have any more good theme music, Andy?
No?
I don't even know what this is.
That's the Fifth Dimension singing. And as the music fades into the background, when I met Nikki, I was a single dad, and I had three boys who the nanny fed way before I got home. And by the time I got home, it never even occurred to me, really, to cook for myself. I would stand at the fridge and just kind of graze. Where were you then, brother? That's what I want to know.
I'm so sorry I wasn't around then.
But
you probably weren't born yet.
That's possibly true.
Your book, Serve Yourself, is based on your post column, which is based on your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when did you have the epiphany to start writing about Good Meals for One and for all the other ones that are out there?
Well, when we first had the idea to do the post column, Bonnie Benwick, my deputy, fabulous deputy editor, and I were talking.
Is that her
it.
Title, fabulous deputy?
Absolutely, she's fabulous.
I gotta get one of those.
It is, and we were talking about how often we get questions about cooking for one in the food section, and sort of realized how many single households there are in the country. It's 31 million. It's been the fastest growing household demographic for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided we wanted to do a monthly column on it. But at first, we invited other voices. It was going to be a different person each time. And actually, the first person who wrote for the column was Judith Jones,
sure.
famous
right.
cookbook editor, who, among other things, discovered Julia Child, who
right.
was on our show earlier.
Thank you.
That's gorgeous. Thank you.
So Judith wrote about how she sets a place setting for herself and lights a candle and has linens and... And I wrote the second installment in which I talked about how I like to eat tacos in front of the TV while I watch American Idol. So so pretty quickly...
Now listen, dog.
Yeah. So pretty quickly, I realized that I wanted to just write the column uh-huh. every month because it's basically how I live. And it's just kind of grown from there.
Well, so let's talk about that. As... You were doing the columns. Were you, I mean, as the food editor of the Washington Post, I mean, you get all these different recipes. So were you, was it good? Is that
good?
Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
the drink is phenomenal.
It looks beautiful.
My answers are going to get a whole lot more interesting really, really quickly.
He's gonna, by the end of the show, he's going to be the FUD editor.
So I guess my question is, as you were putting not just the book, but the column together, where were you getting your recipes from? Were you taking recipes that were for larger groups and scaling them down, or were you just making things that you love to make for yourself? How did it come up? Like, how did you pick?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I mean, mostly for the column, I was also trying to think thematically. Uh-huh. You know, like when you write a column, you try to think, you know, what sort of issues do I want to talk about?
Right.
There's some natural things that come up, like shopping and different products that I love and mm-hmm. different types of things that I like to make that sort of fell into column ideas. And as I explored things, they would turn into columns. So I'm sort of became obsessed with trying to perfect pizza at home for myself and to see whether that was actually a viable thing that you could do. For one, I love pizza.
Yeah, it's called the frozen food.
Oh, right.
Oh, God. Pandora just went off. Sorry.
I was like, what theme song is that?
I don't know. I apologize.
I was about to start doing my Fergie imitation. Thank
please,
God.
Please never, ever do that in front of me.
So as you were, did you have things in mind when you were putting together the book? Like, were you like, I love tacos. I want, because you have
yes.
quite a selection of tacos
yes.
in there.
Yes.
So were you thinking, I want a bunch of them? How did you,
yes.
how did you pick your areas and go through them?
Well, some of them were, I sort of thought back on the columns that I had done and mm-hmm. the things that got me most excited. And honestly, tacos I knew from the outset were going to be a chapter in the book because I make tacos all the time.
Do you really?
I love tacos.
Okay.
And I think they're a really great thing to make for yourself because they're really adaptable and you can use all sorts of meats and salsas and interesting like little vegetables and you can use leftovers in tacos.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you do different things that are unexpected with the tacos too? I mean, you know, theoretically you could put, you know, bacon and eggs in a taco and
that's called a breakfast taco.
Yes,
in fact, I actually
wait a minute. Hello, Mickey D's.
Yeah, it's famous in Austin. Austin, Texas has beautiful breakfast tacos.
You can tell I've never been to Austin.
No.
I survived in college on breakfast tacos.
Isn't that funny? Well, but there are things in your book also that do not seem like for one. I mean, making
right.
pickles and hummus and things of that
right.
nature. So
right.
why include them? Are you just looking for people to branch out? What did you? What's your process?
Well, part of it is in some cases I wanted really to prove to myself and to other people that there are many, many things that you can make for yourself that you wouldn't have necessarily thought that you could. So.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, people had told me that you cannot make risotto for less than four. which is really not true. You can make risotto for one. It's basically the same exact process.
Why did somebody say that?
Well, it's actually not that. I mean, risotto is one of those things that I think people say is really hard to make, but it's actually not really hard to make.
Well, but let's go back to these things, because when I look through, Nikki read the book, because Nikki reads cookbooks. I just can't, that I can't bring myself to read an entire cookbook, but I looked through there.
Well, thank you for your support.
I love it. I bought the book.
You don't have to read it, just buy it.
At least he's honest.
Yeah, he's not like on the IACP.
He's a journalist. He has to be honest. So, but the question is, I would never think of making spicy hummus for myself.
Right.
So are you getting, that whole pickle condiment chapter, I thought was a really, kind of from left field for me, because I am a meatball. I mean, we make a joke about it here, but never occurred to me. So is that to make people stretch a little? Or?
Well, it's also this idea that if you put some time into making a bunch of stuff that has really great flavor when you have time, like on the weekend, then coming home at the end of a long workday, it's a whole lot easier and faster to put together something really quick. What sort of theme song is that? Oh, that's our cameraman's phone.
Oh, my God.
It's just one of those days. Well, gotta go with it.
You can tell this is amateur radio.
So the idea, right, is that you make the spicy hummus, and then you have it in your fridge. And then when you come home at the end of a long workday, if you're just going to graze in the fridge like you talked about, you've got some cool stuff in there.
You got some good food. But there isn't a lot of leftovers in your dishes, which I thought was interesting. Like, there wasn't a lot of things where you're like, and then you can freeze this for later.
Right.
I assume that was on purpose.
Yes. So here's my feeling about leftovers, right? Okay. First of all, I should say, you know what the default recipe size is in cookbooks?
Yes.
Four.
Right.
So if you make a recipe for four, you have how many? Here's a little math problem for you.
Okay.
You make a recipe.
You're making me nervous.
You make a recipe for the two of you, and how many nights of leftovers are you going to have?
Well, I would assume one.
You're going to have one.
Right.
Excellent math.
No, wait a minute. She lives with me, so
I double every recipe. And just we're serving four.
And then I eat everything.
Right.
Well, then
if I make a recipe that serves four, I'm going to have three nights of leftovers.
What are you going to do?
And I just get sick of eating the same thing over and over again.
Well, plus, it's kind of by the fourth.
Exactly. Right. Like the first day of leftovers is one thing. It's like a bonus. You're like, oh, great, I have my lunch.
Right.
Whatever. The second day, you're like, this is tasting kind of.
And then it's a waste.
Thank
you.
So I sort of like this idea of turning leftovers on their head. Mm-hmm. So you make things specifically that are actually ingredients that you can use in recipes. So like I have a couple soup bases in the book, and there's a sweet potato one and a black bean one. And basically you make these powerful concentrated soups bases when you have an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you freeze them. And then when you want to have soup, you thaw the individual portion and you thin it out and you add stuff to it. And that takes you 5-10
minutes.
No time
at all. Smart. Right. So it's like initial investment.
Right.
And the goods later. All right. We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
Okay. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are talking with the food editor of the Washington Post, Joe Yonan, and his new book, Serve Yourself. We also just got placed with some mezcal. So we'll be talking about that if we're still standing when we will be right back.
And shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
The Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure is coming to D.C. Saturday, June 4th, and together we can make an impact. Whether it's just you and a friend or your whole neighborhood, start or join a team today. $28 million has already been raised and invested in local breast cancer programs in our community alone. But there's more to be done. Be a part of the global community, united against breast cancer. Register today at globalraceforthecure.org or visit WTOP.com, search CURE.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You got to save yourself. Nobody's gonna do for you.
Maybe we should just change this to a music show. All right, you're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking food, we're talking wine, we're talking everything. We're talking mezcal today. But right now we're talking to Joe Yonan about his new book, Serve Yourself, which is really, it's as far as I know, it's the first cookbook, you know, for one
that I know of. No, it's not.
It's not.
No, there haven't been many, but Judith Jones had a beautiful one last year.
Okay.
And there have been a handful of other ones. But mine, I think it's safe to say mine's the first. Well, mine's the first by a man.
Mm-hmm.
And mine's the first that's sort of aimed at the younger side of the demographic, I think. You know, there's two reasons why this is the fastest growing household size in the country. There's the older side, which is because people are living longer and longer and healthier.
That's what my wife is afraid of.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, Judith is a widow.
I mean, I'm hoping to cook for one for myself.
Well, get it. You know, so Judith is a widow, right? And she represents that side where someone who's cooked for a husband or maybe a whole family for a long time, and then suddenly they're faced with the prospect of just cooking for themselves. And the younger demographic is because people are waiting longer and longer and longer to get married.
Right.
You know?
No, I hear you. So let's talk about where you're going to be doing book signings. Do you have any more local ones coming up?
Yep, I'm at Politics and Prose on Tuesday.
Great.
Tuesday at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So people should come to that.
Please.
Please. I would love to see some friendly faces.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask me like softball questions.
You mean not the angry ones?
Wait, so I have to say this just in case she's listening, but Bonnie Benwick wanted to know about your housemade tofu, and you said you don't know what she's talking about?
I don't know what Bonnie's talking about. I've never made tofu in my life.
Maybe she wants you to.
Obviously, she wants me to make tofu.
And what did you bring today? Can you tell us, because it's delicious?
Sure. Oh, I'm glad you like it. It's shrimp and potato chip tortilla, Spanish tortilla. So it's actually based on a Ferran Adrià and Jose Andres recipes, where, you know, a traditional Spanish tortilla, you fry up some potatoes first in oil, cook them in oil, and then you add the eggs and onions and everything. And this, you use potato chips. So you crush up a little 1 ounce bag of potato chips. You soak it in eggs. I added a little pimenton, smoked Spanish paprika to it. And then you saute a little shallot. You add shrimp. You basically cook it on both sides and skillet.
It's delicious.
All right, I want to make sure people know how to find the book. Obviously, it's in.
Yeah, we didn't get into your website. I'm sorry, but we're out of time.
That's okay. It's Joe Yonan, YONAN.com.
That's it.
You're doing this great log on your website about your dieting and your taking care of yourself, and it's really inspiring.
Good, thank you. And you know what I love to say is that the book is available wherever books are sold.
Excellent.
And wait. Operators are on duty. Well, you're going to stay for the whole show,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, sure.
All right, well, let's get back to Brooke real quick. Brooke, what do we got here in front of us?
This is Del Maguey's Pechuga Mezcal. And basically, this is only made once a year because they can only use seasonal plantains, plums, and apples when they make it.
Okay.
And they what they do is they suspend an entire skinless chicken over the...
What?
That, yeah, I know. Over the still, and that basically it cuts like the fruit, the sourness of the fruit, and it gives it some flavor. So see if you can notice some of that wow. chicken.
Okay,
in there.
I don't taste any chicken.
Wait, hold on.
It tastes like chicken.
If you listen, hold on.
Wait, there it is.
I never thought I would say taste like chicken
I know,
about Mezcal.
But I have to be
very
honest with you.
Subtle.
This is not harsh at all. And that first drink was really delicious. Okay, apparently it's a little harsher.
We use Del Maguey Vita Mezcal and the Mezcalito, and this is what you. I just wanted you to taste this. It's one of my favorite mezcals.
It's beautiful,
right?
Mezcal.
Yeah, it's really
it's
full
amazing.
And. Tasty.
I can't say that I taste chicken, but
it's very, very subtle. But it kind of cuts the fruitiness a little bit because they use a lot of fruit.
I mean, I tasted ham. I thought
I'm highly
ham.
Suggestible, though. And so, if you tell me there's chicken in there, I start
You're
to go.
Starting to notice.
Right. Maybe there is chicken in there.
Well, while Joe Yonan is simmering in his mezcal, we're going to bring in Tucker Yoder.
Well, wait, what are you going to make next?
Okay, the next drink. I'm
more importantly,
I know, right?
Stop me cold.
This is called the La Mandarina. It's our take on a caipirinha. You know, what caipirinha uses muddled limes and some. What we're using is muddled tangerines. Mm-hmm. And we actually put a little bit of basil in there to give it like a herbaceous note.
Right.
It's very citrusy and refreshing. And then we use El Jimador silver tequila, organic agave nectar, and fresh lemon juice.
Fantastic.
So these around for you.
All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I need a drum roll. You got one, Andy?
Very good.
Tucker Yoder. Tucker is the executive chef at one of the very fine Relais and Chateau Inns.
That's yours.
The
There's only
Inn.
Me here.
And Tucker, you made
Welcome.
The hike.
Welcome. Thank you for coming
today.
You
made the hike all the way up from Charlottesville. Tell us about what we know about the Clifton Inn, but tell the world about the Clifton Inn.
Well, I heard there's going to be drinks, so that's,
that's what I'm talking about. It gets them here, let me tell you.
Smart man. Well, the Clifton Inn is a small 18-room Relais and Chateau property in lovely Charlottesville, Virginia, just outside. It's a great little place to come and spend a weekend.
And the
that's
restaurant
where I,
is
where I had my honeymoon.
The restaurant, is it really?
Yeah.
What, you just went there and stayed?
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
your wife now?
Yeah. She's in Charlottesville taking care of the kids.
That's nice.
How long have you been at the Clifton Inn?
I've been there 6 months now.
Okay.
I was there 5 years earlier for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my honeymoon.
Right. And so now that you're back in the kitchen there, tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, we're trying to focus on what's great in Virginia and local producers and... You know, we get local meat, local cheeses, as much local vegetables as we can. We're growing we have 15 garden beds just started.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
That must be very exciting.
Yeah.
So what prompted this Virginia-only cheese idea?
Yeah, well, when I got there, we had a huge selection of all these different cheeses and from all over the world, and they're all fantastic. And, I thought it would be special if this small country inn could find similar cheeses that were all produced close by, and we knew the people who were making them and could have conversations with them, and it's been a lot of fun trying to find all these different do a whole cheese plate out of Virginia cheeses.
So were you looking for were you picking your favorite cheeses in your mind from all over the world and then looking for duplicates made locally?
Yeah, kind of, but it's kind of hard because there aren't a huge amount of Virginia cheese producers who produce on a level that we can buy from.
Sure.
So we kind of had to, go with what was there and hope it grows. And
well, aside from tasting good and giving you a variety, what kind of, standard do you hold these guys to in terms of the quality
These are just as good as anything, in the world.
And I would say they're not necessarily duplicates, right?
Right. No. That's what I was trying to...
They're their own character.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the cheeses you brought today.
I brought three cheeses from Everona Dairy, which is a small dairy in Everona, Virginia.
Love it.
Run by Pat Elliott, who's a former doctor. She's great. I have an Albarine Ash, which is a ghost cheese from Gail Hobbs page.
It's beautiful. What's the blue? It's a white goat cheese with a blue vein through it.
Right, that's the ash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, pressed in the middle. It's a very French style.
Now, everybody stay away from that. That's already spoken for.
I don't think so.
Dude, it's like reaching across the table. Let him finish talking about it.
I'm putting it up for the camera, for God's sake.
Gail's a former chef who decided to go learn how to make goat cheese in France. And she's come back and is doing great. Great things.
Oh. I'm going to let the food editor cut the cheese.
Joe Yernan
is cutting the cheese.
No,
I'm going to tweet that.
Boy, Bonnie Benwick is going to be the food editor pretty soon.
And then the last two are from Meadow Creek, and people are probably pretty familiar with the mm-hmm. Grayson. It's an award winning. It's great on pizza, by the way.
Oh, great.
With pears and arugula. It's really, really good.
The
Grayson.
Yeah.
So did you talk with any of these dairies or cheesemakers and say, this is what I'm looking for? Or did you just allow your palate to pick what you were going to serve?
This is pretty much what they were already making.
Right.
And it's really good, so we kind of went with it.
Mm-hmm.
Gail's kind of expanding her operation, so
okay. We're
kind of in a good position to say, hey, why don't we try and make this? Or what can you try and make this for us? So
mm-hmm. She's
been working...
Wait a minute, that ain't working out.
Sorry, I'm hogging the cheese.
I told Yona to cut the cheese. I didn't tell him to eat it.
She's been working with making sheep's milk cheeses and goat and cow's milk cheeses. So
beautiful.
She's expanding.
Hey. Thank you very much. So has it been a new experience for you, sort of working with these different farmers and in this capacity?
I've been working with for the past 10 years with local farmers, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of used to that aspect. It's a little different with cheese because if there's an accident on the farm and they can't make cheese 1 week,
you don't have it.
Yeah, it slows down.
What kind of accident would you have?
Well, the goats at Gail's farm, one of the goats
got out of control.
Kicked a couple
runaway goats,
and then they didn't want to produce milk, and so it kind of slows down production.
I didn't know that
goats are difficult, aren't they?
It seems that way. Yeah,
that one's.
Yeah, what is
funky.
This one?
This is the one you brought home.
That's the Grayson. Yeah, that's really nice.
It does remind me of Taleggio a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it.
Yeah,
it does.
It really, really does.
Yeah, as it warms up, it gets runnier.
The stinkier a cheese, the
better.
Nice and stinky.
Uh-huh.
That's some of my kids' favorites right there, is the really stinky ones.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
And what has been, so when diners come in, do you get any sort of feedback about serving just cheeses from Virginia? I mean, is it mostly positive? Is there that one?
Well, I think a lot of people, a lot of people come to Clifton from out of state or mm-hmm. from, D.C. area. So when they get down into the country, it's kind of nice to see what Virginia's doing.
Mm-hmm.
They can't necessarily find.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you've only got 18 rooms at the Clifton. So obviously most of your diners are coming from someplace else. Charlottesville is what, about an hour and a half from D.C.?
Yeah, it takes about an hour.
Do you get people who do the round trip for dinner?
On occasion,
yeah,
we actually had a group. We have a 10-seat chef's table, and we had a group at the chef's table last week that just drove down and drove back.
So I think it'd be great to get a tour bus.
That sounds like fun.
Absolutely.
All right, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to find out more about what you guys are going to be doing on your spring menu.
Okay.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're drinking more tequila.
And
we're eating cheese. And later in the show, we're going to be eating some more cheese.
We'll be
back in just a sec.
When my 10-gallon hats are feeling 5 gallons flat, I got something planned, which is little cheese sandwiches. Come on!
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown, the perfect place for your upcoming celebration. Whether it's a luncheon or after-work gathering, cocktail reception, sit-down dinner, or full-scale party, Farmers and Fishers can accommodate you and your guests. Whether your group is 30 or 300, Farmers and Fishers has the right setting for your party. They'll customize a menu and beverage package to suit your taste, plus there are no room rental fees and low package minimums. Contact Lila Dugley for more info or get details at farmersandfishers.com about booking your event.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
I eat cheese, but only on pizza, please. Sometimes on a homemade quesadilla.
Wait, is that a Jonas Brothers?
It sounds like
it. So good. You got that little 8-year-old daughter. You know what
I
mean.
I'm a mess. Well, you're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I don't even know where to start. We're eating amazing cheeses.
We've and got guacamole.
Tucker Yoder, who's the executive chef down at the Clifton Inn in Charlottesville. You were starting to talk. We were talking about the, you know, the sort of the rest of the menu, because I assume there's more there than cheese, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tell us what changes you're making, because you really, you know, just got there, really, 6 months ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've kind of gone to a, we do a four-course, price fix a four-course, and you can choose, pick and choose any courses you want out of any category, and we kind of categorize it by how heavy the dish is. So the light dishes come first on the menu, but you can, of course, order four desserts if you want. You can do whatever you want. We're trying to go as local as possible. We do a fair amount of dinners, so it's a little hard to.
I mean, will you go and buy your own cow and your own pig and have them? You know.
Yeah, we're we buy lambs, our own lambs right now from Border Springs Farm, mm-hmm. and we're going to be getting whole pigs. And I use a farmer in Lexington for all our beef, which is nice.
Is all of this local stuff, because everybody's doing it now, is that really having a significant impact on the independent farm? I mean, is the independent farm coming back, or is it just a few select ones that are serving basically the restaurant industry? Because, you know, the agri-farms, the big ones.
I think everybody's into local food right now, you know, so it can only help the small farmer.
You know? Yeah, of course it's helping. I mean, and now more and more small farmers are popping up. People are getting into it because...
It's great for us because they're
getting into farming. Yeah. I think that's part of what's happening.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for us because there's more of them and they're willing to do things just for us, grow things just for us, or which is nice.
You know, actually, we met those friends of David Hagedorn's who left Washington and moved
Whitmore.
Out to Somewheresville.
Yeah, and they're
now doing
Whitmore
lamb.
Farm.
Yeah.
And even Brendan Cox, who was a chef here, he and his wife just moved down to, I think, North Carolina, and they're starting their own farm. So more and more, right? Brendan Cox is starting his own farm with his wife.
Yep, absolutely.
Down in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yep.
I mean, I think you're seeing more and more people do it. I mean, you're in such a great area.
There's so much
available to you.
I mean, the Shenandoah Valley right there, great Mennonite farming communities and tons of great vegetables and...
Well, we really appreciate you coming all the way out here today and bringing all this delicious cheese for us.
Pleasure.
It's very exciting.
All right, you know what? Before you go, let's make sure people know how to find the Clifton Inn online and to make reservations. So,
yeah,
this is the plug.
Inn. Yeah, cliftoninn.net.
That was hard.
Yeah. That's pretty easy.
And I'm going to say, if anybody out there doesn't know how to spell Clifton Inn, it's just don't bother, all right?
You can't listen anymore.
All right, that's right.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, Tucker, thanks. Brooke, let's go back to you. You're going to turn us into...
You're doing so much work over there. There's a lot going on. What did you pour here? What is this?
This is one of our stirred cocktails. It's a stirred martini. And what it is it's a pear brandy. And we use a Bianco vermouth, which is a cross between a dry and a sweet vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we use Casa Noble Organic Silver Tequila. What we do is we stir it. We stir the cocktail for about 20 seconds instead of shaking it. So it doesn't have that like aerated, foamy flavor. It's very rich and complex. You guys notice the complexity in it, very smooth.
This is amazing. This is my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I want to invite you all to my AA meeting.
This is one of my favorite cocktails as well.
I love the sound effects of the ice in the back.
I know, it's so much fun.
I would never have thought really to put
Belle de Brie with tequila, but it's
right.
It's amazing.
And that and the Bianco Vermouth gives it like a, just a hint of the pear flavor to it.
I love
it's really nice. It's super smooth.
All right. Well, while you guys are getting the next drink ready, and we'll be back to talk. God, the next drink. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a long name, but it's worth the saying. The Renaissance Arlington Capitol View Hotel is the really the new crowning glory of Crystal City, and the jewel in the crown is Sochi, which is the hotel's signature Italian restaurant. It's billed as an urban Italian kitchen and bar, and we've got the hotel's GM here, John Edelman, and Sochi's executive chef, David Creamer.
And lots of burrata. Lots and lots of burrata.
God, I love burrata.
Ridiculous amounts of burrata.
We brought the good stuff.
So, guys, let's start. You know, John, why don't we start with you? Because I did the tour of the hotel. It's, you know, it's knockout. It's really beautiful. Why don't you pull up to the mic there and tell? Just give everybody the 411 on the hotel.
Well, it's a brand new hotel in Crystal City. It is a LEED certified hotel. It's actually won 8 design awards.
LEED certified means it's very, very environmentally friendly.
Yes, everything is environmentally friendly. We do a lot of recycling there. Everything is recycled. Even the chef composts all of the.
I thought you were going to say the chef was recycled.
No, he's not recycled. He's been around, but he's not recycled. The hotel itself is very swanky. It looks a lot like a hotel that you would see if you were walking
over there.
Into.
You can't
talk. In New York City, it's very chic, very trendy and modern, and filled with artwork. When you walk in, you're just amazed by the movement and the lighting and the way that the hotel is designed and set up.
Wow, well, you make it sound really good. I haven't been yet. It just sounds glorious.
You know what? The lighting is really what nailed me. I mean, there are all these – I know that they're sort of custom designed and made fixtures, but there's some that are – You know, it's sort of high impact lighting that still looks like twinkling stars and the whole thing. It was gorgeous. It was
beautiful. In Sochi Restaurant, we have these large barrel lights that are over the restaurant itself, and there are 14 of them on each side, and there are 140,000 different lighting combinations that you can come up with. And some of them, yes, and it looks like it's all LED lights, and there's one that it looks like rain is falling out of the ceiling.
Yeah, I saw it. Well, that effect was happening when I was there. It was
neat.
Really knockout.
It's very cool. And for groups and things that are coming in, we actually changed the lights to match the groups that are coming in. We had a Our Life party here on St. Patrick's Day. We called it O Italiano because it was 150th year anniversary of the reunification of Italy on St. Patrick's Day.
Giuseppe Garibaldi.
So we had a big party, and we had the lights in the colors of the Italian flag and then of the Irish flag. So it was really kind of cool.
That's nuts. Well,
all right, chef, let's
get
you
in. Just want to say, you're only the GM. Let's get the chef in here. Chef David Creamer, a local boy. Yes, he and I share the distinction of being among the few born in the D.C. In D.C.
All right, so tell us your story. Tell us how you wound up here and what you're doing.
I wound up here by the grace of God. I'm happy to be here. It's been a great opportunity to open the hotel. Worked with Marriott in and out for the last couple of years, but been with Renaissance only a couple months now and just having a great, great time.
So tell us a little bit about the concept of the restaurant and the kind of food you're putting together there.
Urban Italian, it really is the letting the ingredients be the hero of what we're doing. We really don't do a lot of built food, a lot of extra stuff, a lot of additives. It's a lot of maybe 4, 5, 6 ingredients on a plate. And a lot of those ingredients are that micro-local or indigenous piece. So we're pulling everything from Gifford's ice cream, from 1956 in D.C., Hummingbird Farms tomatoes out of Pennsylvania, Bernardo Farms blueberries out of New Jersey, to really highlighting some of these smaller farms and smaller crafters of just great, great ingredients and putting them together really simply on the plate so they're easily recognizable and shareable.
Well, let me ask you a question because, I mean, having talked with the Clifton Inn earlier, I mean, that's a smaller, there are fewer seats there. I mean, you're a huge hotel. How are you able to supply that much product to the table? I mean, is that hard to do?
It's not easy. It's definitely something we do on a daily basis. It's not something we obviously order and put in the freezer. It's something that our purchasing department, as well as our chefs, are involved in on a daily basis, even to an hourly basis at some times.
Okay.
Even to sourcing our burrata out of D.C., there's times where if we're behind on burrata and it's fresh, every 48 hours we pretty much pick it up. So if we don't have anyone available, we drive over and pick it up.
The burrata's from D.C.?
Where is the burrata from?
It's a local distributor. I didn't bring the name with me, but I can get back to you.
He doesn't want anybody to
I want anyone else to fly over and get
it's
into
beautiful.
It.
It's beautiful.
So the buffalo mozzarella, it's not burrata, though, because it's so creamy on the inside.
100% buffalo mozzarella. That's actually imported from New York. That's an Italian product, and these are local.
These are local. And tell us about what you top them with.
The topping we'll start with is a fig jam. It's a fig preserve that we make in-house.
Delish.
And then we did an arugula pesto, just a play on a traditional pesto, but arugula instead. A little bit of lemon for highlights.
Yum. Very
good. And I had a pepper chutney that is almost like the pepper chutney that's on my tortilla.
We should say the guy talking, in case you just tuned in, is Joe Yonan, who's the food editor of the Post. So who better to have like what you're serving than Joe?
It's really
it's
nice.
Yummy.
Yeah, delicious. And so tell us about some of the other things you have on the menu. I mean, because you're doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So how? Tell us about some of the standouts on each menu.
For breakfast, we've done some great things with some of our indigenous products. We've got some local Benedicts, everything from a smoked salmon Benedict, vegetable Benedict with some asparagus slaw, and some great feta to go with it, some highlights. Our pancakes are one of our staples at the Renaissance brand. We do a fresh pancake mix every morning. Nothing comes out of a plastic bag, so we make our own. We have a local indigenous pancake from Crown Orchard in Charlottesville, Virginia, actually. We use their gala apples and make a gala apple pancake with some apple and candy walnuts and a little bit of apple butter to go with. So we use the apple and just about everything that goes on the plate.
Well, I just want to say, I'm watching Yonan. I think he just found another recipe for his second cookie.
Oh, my God. This is excellent burrata. Like, it's really,
it's like amazing. Eating a cloud. It's,
I know, it's amazing.
Your eyes roll back in your head.
I just want to say to anyone out there, and I may have said this before, if you want to eat well, get your own radio show.
You can have a couple drinks, have some good food. It's not so bad. And what about at dinner? I mean, what are some of the, what would you say that some of the your favorite items are on the menu?
There's a few items, one of which from my grandmother, actually. She taught me to make some meatballs, and I've been making them for a long time. A little bit of veal, a little pork, a little beef.
Wait, how does a guy named Creamer have a Sicilian grandmother? Because I read that, and I thought, it must be mommy's side.
It is. It's kind of a long story. My when they immigrated, they didn't have paperwork and all the fun stuff you need when you first get over here. So my grandfather was a butcher by trade, ended up working in a dairy in the morning to stocking and storing, and he didn't understand the difference between creamer, half and half, and milk. So he just didn't mix everything together on the shelves. They used to walk over and say, listen, Nikolai, creamer over here, creamer. So it's spelled just like it's spelled on the bottle, because they called him Mr. Creamer for
so
long.
Because
he cut meat overnight and put the dairy away in the morning.
Oh, my God, so that's a great story. Years.
So you might have been butcher or
baker or candlestick maker.
Or you could have been Hey You.
I still am a Hey You.
Or your last name could be David, you're fired.
That's the way he cooks.
Well, I want to ask you, because when we did the tour, I was told you guys were going to have a crazy cocktail program there, too. What's going on there?
Oh, we've got some great cocktails. We actually do a lot of fresh juice drinks. Similar to what we've got tasting right now. We've got focused mainly on the Italian side. We've got a classic Bellini where we take peaches and we make a fresh peach puree with Zonin Prosecco from Italy and make the best Bellini you've ever had. If you haven't had a good Bellini, you got to stop by and get it. We do an Aperol Spritzer, which is fantastic.
I love Aperol.
It's fantastic.
Hey, Yonan's taking over the show.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's a Joe Yonan show. There's special guest stars. We have 1 minute.
And some of the other classic cocktails, we've got a regular Manhattan, and then we've got one that's made with Red Stag, which has got that hint of black cherry, which just emphasizes that. If you like bourbons, it's
that's
fantastic.
What Nikki calls me, you know, the Red Stag.
So who came up with these cocktails?
A lot of them are core cocktails that we have with Renaissance brand.
Okay.
Some of them are also cocktails that our corporate team devised. Some of them actually that our team came up with when we were developing the hotel and coming up with what's our theme of the restaurant. And our bartenders came up with a few of the cocktails as well.
Now, Chef, let me ask you, do we have to take a break? All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the pastas you're doing, because you're making them from scratch, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis and Joe Yonan with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
What be daring and uncaring when you pinch me, try to pinch me where there's fat.
Public engagement starts with your website and now extends to mobile devices. If you are a federal program manager and would like to explore the topic of web interfaces, come to a free April breakfast forum brought to you by the Armature Corporation. Our speaker will be Tim McLaughlin, CEO of Siteworks, at AFEI headquarters near the Courthouse Metro, and you'll be out by 9 a.m., moderated by me, John Gilroy. For more details, go to afei.org.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Market risk, higher taxes, high unemployment, uncertainty, retirement. This is Steve Burton, president of Equity One, and I would like to invite you to our tax-free retirement workshop at the Morton Steakhouse in Tyson's Corner on Wednesday, April the 13th at 7 p.m. Call 1-877-313-4080 to RSVP. You must be a homeowner and have a retirement account to attend. Call 1-877-313-4080. Learn how to make market gains without market risk, and that tax deferred is not tax free. Would you like to create your own private pension plan? To attend this event at Morton Steakhouse in Tyson's Corner on Wednesday, April the 13th, call 1-877-313-4080. That's 1-877-313-4080. You can also register online at EquityOneInc.com. That's EquityOneInc.com or call 1-877-313-4080.
Now we're back with Foodie and the Beast.
Boy, oh boy. Now we're back with Foodie and the Beast. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to thank the people that make this show possible, our sponsors, and make everyone else who's not sponsoring the show feel lousy about it. Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in America, folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, the people at Founding Farmers and Farmers and Fishers, two great restaurants. Founding Farmers is down at 2200 Pennsylvania Avenue, and Farmers and Fishers is in the Georgetown Harbor. And the people, it was Potomac Hospitality, now Modus. Noti Bianchi Dish and Circle Bistro, and a new sponsor that's just joined us, Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers, because jewelers realize that our audience is the kind of audience they want to reach, so thank you all.
I was actually hoping for a trade, but
all right.
Said they'll do the show.
So, real fast, let's get back to David Creamer and John Edelman.
Wait, before we do that, we have a clarification on the whole tofu incident here, thanks to Aaron Hartigan. So apparently, Bonnie Benwick was not talking about Joe Yonan's tofu, but the chef from Clifton Inn. So, chef, just tell us quickly, you make your own tofu?
Yeah, we make a tofu, and we kind of make it taste like bacon, or like it has bacon in it.
How do you do
but
that?
It doesn't have any bacon in it. Still
no bacon. Okay.
We use the same spices you would use to cure a slab of bacon, and then we make a
anybody tofu. That can make tofu taste like anything is in my book.
But bacon, particularly. After we basically curdle the soy milk like you would to make cheese, and then we smoke that so it has a smoky flavor and it tastes like bacon, and then we puree it so it's smooth so the texture is...
You know, we...
Oh, my God.
When I was in college, we tried smoking tofu. It didn't work. all right, back to David Creamer and John Edelman. You were asking about...
Well, you brought in so many different items, and apparently you're doing some really fun things at your restaurant. So why don't you just tell us about, like, you brought in these cipollinis and your olives. Tell us about some of these products and what you're doing.
We're just doing a lot of fun stuff, and we like to keep it in-house as much as possible. I would say we're easily a 95% from-scratch kitchen, and being in a hotel, that definitely is something we pride ourselves on. We do everything from cure our own olives. We do our own play on hummus, which is actually we brought in, which is a porcini and white bean puree. So that's kind of a fun texture, too, a little porcini oil from the packaging. We do our hand-cut pastas. We do a tagliatelle. It's actually cut to order. We pull our own pizza dough. We do our own fresh pizza dough with a gas oven. We have a big wood stone oven. Cook about 16 pies at a time if we needed to.
Okay.
Obviously, meatballs from scratch. We do, if you name it, we probably do it.
That's pretty good. Great.
All right. So, want to make sure everybody knows, the Renaissance Arlington Capital View Hotel is in Crystal City. Give us the address, John.
It's 2800 South Potomac Avenue.
Right there on...
You can't
right
miss it.
Crystal right off Crystal
building.
Drive.
That's
can't
right.
Miss it.
And Sochi is the restaurant. And I have to say, what we found out is, you know, a lot of hotel restaurants are not destination dining spots for locals. But the locals have already found out about Sochi. And you guys are banging out meals like crazy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. They found out where we're at, and they're starting to come in by the droves, which is a great thing for a restaurant to have.
Yeah.
Especially in a hotel
absolutely.
Restaurant. We've got a street presence, so it's not necessarily so much a hotel restaurant. Renaissance is not a hotel brand that... focuses on the hotel guests, they're more concerned about bringing in those local people and getting the people from the area to come in to try it out.
Well, be a that was well put, and Mr. Marriott is local and listens, so I'm sure he's going to...
Fantastic.
John, you got the party lined down. All right, well, thanks very much. David Creamer, good luck. Thank you for coming in and bringing all this amazing
great food.
Thank you. So,
okay.
Brooke...
There's beer in these cocktails.
While I can still talk.
What do you mean?
There's beer in these cocktails.
Too late.
I need two.
Okay, tell us about them.
One of them, the El Baitabel, it's made with beet juice, 100% beet juice, and then it has a little bit of...
This one.
Yes. Yeah. It's a bright...
Yeah, Joe, the red one.
Red, yes. Can't put anything past me. And some hot sauce. And Pacifico, we use Pacifico beer. Mm-hmm. Just, it's great for warm weather, sitting outside, you know, maybe on a Saturday or Sunday morning.
I mean, it just doesn't look like it tastes... The way it does. Yeah,
it's almost like a Bloody Mary kind of taste.
Right. I mean, it's a real trompe l'oeil, really. It looks like it's going to be sweet and sticky, and there's none of that.
She's over there.
She does one show with Michelle Richard, and he hits on her a couple of times, and suddenly she's fluent. That's how that goes.
What is this one that has the big orange peel in it, and that tastes kind of sweet? And...
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about this.
That's our version of an old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
It's called our La Antigua, and we use bitters in it, like an old-fashioned, mm-hmm. but instead of the typical bourbon, we use cocoa tequila, a little bit of sugar, so that's basically what would make up an old-fashioned.
Tell us about cocoa tequila.
Well, it's Tanteo's the brand, but it's 100% agave tequila. It's mm-hmm. Don Roberto's the base tequila. And then it's infused with cocoa, and it has a slight jalapeno-like nuance at the back, if you kind of notice that. Not overwhelming. It goes well with the orange twist.
How did a girl named Vandekar learn all this stuff? Is it Vandekarito?
Vandekarito.
Hey, how long have you been at Rosa Mexicana?
I've been at Rosa Mexicana for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And what is the kind of, is there a specific training program when they come up with these cocktails? How does it all come to be?
There is. It's very thorough training. We're a very high volume restaurant. Typically high volume restaurants don't make drinks that take this much time. We don't stir for 20 seconds. But we've trained all of our bartenders very thoroughly to be efficient, fast, and quality obviously is one of the main components of all of these drinks, so they're able to do that. But it's a very long, thorough training, and for the servers as well.
So is there a lot of education? I mean, you know a lot about what you're pouring. Is that right across the board?
Absolutely. Education. We had Alex Day and David Kaplan of Proprietors LLC. Mm-hmm. They've actually partnered with Rosa Mexicano to come up with this drink menu.
Okay.
And so they've done a lot of the educating as well. With Jason
Well,
Barry.
That's great.
Well,
great,
before what? We let Brooke out of here, because she's probably the only one who can walk.
Andy can walk.
Are you guys doing a whole Passover thing at Rosa?
We are. Starting April 18th, we're going to have a whole Passover menu. Mm-hmm. We're actually doing a cooking class on April 15th. That should be a lot of fun. And then we're going to have a Passover sangria. It's made with kosher tequila, which I don't know if you guys know this. Herradura is kosher.
Oh, so we're going to be using...
Yes, and we're Mano Chavez. We're going to use, it's like a reduction of a red wine reduction that's kosher.
But you're actually using Mano Chavez wine?
Right. But we're going to reduce it.
It's okay. The only thing Mano Chavez is good for.
So if I come in.
It's good for Herosa.
That's called our Herosa sangria.
Oh, that's great. That's hilarious.
So
that's, great.
That's my question. If I come in and say Manish Tana Halayla Haza Amigos, everybody's going to know what I'm saying. Awesome.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Very good. All right. So. Tell everybody where they can find you, please.
I am located at Rosa Mexicana in D.C. at 575 7th Street, right across the street from the Verizon Center in Penn Quarter.
And there's also another Rosa Mexicana. You're not there, but it's over in the National Harbor.
We just ate there. We had a great meal there.
And we're going to be opening one up soon in Chevy Chase.
I know, up the street.
Yes.
Very exciting. What's the ETA on that?
We're looking at fall.
Great.
Yes. Great. Amazing.
All right. Well, thank you for everything today.
Thank you
guys did an amazing job.
All right. Well, now I want to jump in here because obviously this show, we're all talking so fast and it's not the booze. It's just that there's so much to do and talk about on the food and wine and restaurant scene here in Washington. So I urge you, because it's free in particular, to go to the listareyouonit.com and subscribe and join, 35,000 other area residents who subscribe and find out absolutely every nit and louse. That's not right. Nit
no,
and
just
louse.
Every food and every wine. Little, why don't you stop talking now and I'll take
it
over, please.
I'm on the list, by the way. I'm on it.
Excellent.
I am on it.
Joe Yonan, highly recommend it.
Can I pick
But anyways, and you can follow Nikki on Twitter, and if you stay tuned, you'll hear her on WTOP at 12:50 telling you
about all the great books
What's
that are popping
on?
Up in and around the area. Okay, so as we do on every show, we like to point out a specific charity, and I really want to talk about this one because there is a huge event going on tomorrow.
Well, it's tomorrow night. It's Taste of the Nation.
You're judging? Are you
I'm
judging?
I'm not. I'm teaching a class at culinary.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's an amazing event. It benefits Share Our Strength. Mm-hmm. It's tomorrow night starting at 7 at the National Building Museum, but it features the area's top chefs working to support Share Our Strength's efforts to end childhood hunger.
Absolutely.
So you've got the chef chair is R.J. Cooper, who's about to open his own restaurant, Rogue 24.
Mm-hmm.
Gina Trisavani, who is the mixologist extraordinaire at PS 7's.
Mixtress.
Whatever. And our good friend Nadine Brown from Charlie Palmer Steak.
The wine
but they're all they've got some new stuff happening this year, including the first ever Taste of the Nation Master Chef Showdown.
And that's what I'm emceeing. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So please come over and say hi.
Catch
and
her
please,
before she drinks these.
Please come. It's such an amazing event every year, and there are still a couple tickets
and
left.
If you want to get tickets, go to tasteofthenation.org/Washington, and you can make that happen.
Okay, and as we do also on every show, we like to leave you with a little quote.
Now, I may be the only person here who remembers Billie Burke, who was in Dinner at 8 with the Barrymores, and also she was the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz. Hello, Dorothy. Okay. That sounded like Julia. But she said something very interesting. She said, age is something that doesn't matter unless you're a cheese. Now, I want you all to think about that all week, all right? I want to thank our guests, Washington Post food editor Joe Yonan.
Thank you.
Executive chef Tucker Yoder of the Clifton Inn, John Edelman and David Creamer of the new Renaissance Arlington Capital View Hotel. Big
and
breath. And its signature restaurant, Sochi, and Brooke Vandekar, a bar chef from Rosa Mexicano here in D.C. Thank you all very much.
Now, we do have to get out of here. We are taking a break next week. We will not be in studio, so we'll be playing one of our best ofs.
It's Pesach, baby.
So it's not. But everybody, have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today whose name is Mr. Tom Lemus. It gives us great honor to introduce to you a nutritional expert by the name of Tom Lemus. You may have heard of him. He's written many books, has been on many shows, and has researched many nutritional ingredients. Such a remarkable, intelligent man. Mr. Lemus will introduce us to the exclusive BioVaxin.